This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
We're about to listen to the Dr. Dahlia Show. Sassy, stimulating medical talk radio. Any medical advice Dr. Dahlia Wax gives on her show should not be substituted for an actual visit to your medical provider. And now, here's Dr. Dahlia.
Doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case of loving you.
All right, guys, we are back on the Dr. Dahlia Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DALI, 1-877-DOC-DALI. Okay, wow. I love sugar. I just do. I am addicted to sugar. I just need something sweet. And looks like it wasn't my fault. I was manipulated. I'll go with that. So there's a report here being reported by ABC News that the sugar industry began funding research that cast doubt on sugar's role in heart disease, in part by pointing the finger at fat being the cause, as early as the 1960s, according to an analysis of newly uncovered documents. The analysis published Monday is based on correspondence between a sugar trade group and researchers at Harvard University, and is the latest example showing how food and beverage makers attempt to shape public understanding of nutrition. Yeah, a little conflict of interest there, wouldn't you say? They said in 1964, a group known as the Sugar Association internally discussed a campaign to address negative attitudes towards sugar after studies began emerging linking sugar with heart disease. According to documents dug up from public archives, they say the following year the group approved, quote, Project 226, which entailed paying Harvard researchers today's equivalent of $48,900 for an article reviewing the scientific literature, supplying materials they wanted reviewed, and receiving drafts of the article. The resulting article published in 1967 concluded there was, quote, no doubt that reducing cholesterol and saturated fat was the only dietary intervention needed to prevent heart disease. The researchers overstated the consistency of the literature on fat and cholesterol while downplaying studies on sugar. So, according to one of the authors, they say here, let me assure you this is quite what we had in mind, and we look forward to its appearance in print, wrote an employee of the sugar industry group to one of the authors. See, I'm wondering if this was back in 1964 or 1967. Was there something like groovy, dude? Groovy. You are one foxy mama for coming up with such groovy results, man. That's how I think they modernized it for us. The sugar industry's funding and role was not disclosed when the article was published by the New England Journal of Medicine. The journal, which did not require such disclosures at the time, began requesting author disclosures by 1984. So they say in an editorial published Monday that accompanied the sugar industry analysis, New York University Professor of Nutrition Marion Nestle, I wonder if Marion is related to the Nestle company, noted that for decades following the study, scientists and health officials then focused on reducing saturated fat and not sugar to prevent heart disease. You see what happens when you have a study that's so groundbreaking that you end up now moving directions towards that and everything else goes by the wayside. So the American Heart Association cites a study back in 2014 saying too much added sugar could increase the risk of heart disease, although the authors of that study said the biological reason for the link was not completely understood. The findings published today are part of an ongoing project by a former dentist, Kristen Kearns, to reveal the sugar industry's decades-long efforts to counter science, linking sugar with negative health effects, including diabetes. Now, in the latest work, this was published in the journal JAMA Internal Medicine, and it's based primarily on 31 pages of correspondence between the sugar group and one of the Harvard researchers. So this is some pretty serious stuff. They say the Sugar Association said it was a disservice that industry-funded research in general is considered tainted. Companies like Coca-Cola and Kellogg, as well as groups for agricultural products like beef and blueberries, regularly fund studies that become a part of scientific literature. They're cited by other researchers, and then they're touted in press releases. So what we need to talk about here is, where are these studies coming from? When do studies need funding by these private organizations, and why, you know, will it continue to be necessary to have private companies help fund our research, and can we trust any of these studies from these private companies? I mean, you know, if Coca-Cola, let's say, and I'm a fan of Coca-Cola. I don't think people should be drinking it all the time. But I got to tell you, Coca-Cola has helped my family out of so many nausea and vomiting episodes. That a little bit of Coca-Cola that we deflated and, you know, got rid of the bubbles and have the I mean, Coca-Cola syrup has been using as an, been used as an anti-emetic for decades. It's, I love the product for that. I do use it medicinally, but, we never recommend it, you know, long term. Unfortunately, a lot of people bring in soda pop all the time. That can lead them to diabetes. And so, you know, when you have a study coming from somebody that, you know, is a soda pop giant, you know, is the study going to say soda pop's bad for you? Probably not. Which is why when we teach our medical students, and I'm an assistant professor at Touro University, Nevada, we teach our students, look at who's writing the study. Who's making this study? Now, many people say, okay, well, let's just get rid of all private enterprise on the studies, and let's just have the government, you know, look at the studies and perform these studies and report the results. I don't know if that's completely unbiased also. Look at how after the Affordable Care Act, all these government-initiated reviews came up with saying, nah, with prostate cancer, we could watch and wait. We could hold off doing the mammogram. We could slow down on this testing. So I don't know if there's going to be a lack of bias with that as well. So you need a balance. You also need to be very aware, and you need to use common sense. If sugar causes diabetes and diabetics are behind the eight ball when it comes to heart disease, then you need to deduce that sugar causes heart disease. You see? I mean, it's that simple. So, my recommendation is try to eat a balance. If you want a little bit of sugar, that's okay. Just talk to your doctor. Make sure you're exercising. Make sure you're getting your sugar levels checked. Make sure you're getting your cholesterol checked. Make sure you're trying to keep yourself healthy. Make sure you're eating a balanced diet. Get those fruits and vegetables. Watch your liver status. Watch your kidney status. Don't go away. We'll be right back. 1-877-DOC-TALLY. Dahlia here. You've been hearing a lot about MyPillow, and I'm here to tell you, wow, it works. With MyPillow, I'm able to fall asleep faster and stay asleep, and I don't wake up with neck pain like I do with some of my other store-bought pillows. MyPillow is my go-to pillow every night. So get your MyPillow at MyPillow.com and use promotional code DDW, or you can call 1-800-419-1379. It'll be the best night of sleep ever.
What are you listening to? Have you tried the Dr. Dahlia 24-7 listen line? It's easy. Just punch in 605-477-3713. No apps, no data, no internet needed. And no extra cost if you have unlimited minutes. Call now. 605-477-3713. Now you can listen to Dr. Dahlia when you want. Bookmark the Dr. Dahlia 24-7 listen line number today. 605-477-3713. Got it? Call 605-477-3713.
Something shocking just happened in a Coast Guard unit in San Diego. The old guys in the unit have turned the tables and are now destroying the young bucks in head-to-head fitness tests. How is this even possible? Turns out the old guys in this unit have been part of a special test group for a doctor-formulated fountain of youth drink called Patriot Power Greens. Patriot Power Greens has been so effective for many of the older soldiers that it's made their achy joints, stiff muscles, and lack of energy a thing of the past. Previously, this drink was only available to elite military units. But for a limited time, the creator of Patriot Power Greens has set aside a small number of free sample packs specifically for our conservative friends. But you must act fast. Due to the high demand from members of the Coast Guard, our supply is extremely limited right now.
To claim your free samples of Patriot Power Greens, go to greens75.com. That's greens75.com. greens75.com.
Attention, investors saving for retirement. What if you could store your IRA or 401k where you can see, touch, and hold it in your hands in the form of physical gold and silver coins? You know you can't do that with your stocks. With the Augusta Gold and Silver IRA, you can transfer retirement savings into physical coins and store them where you can actually hold them in your hands, where you can get your gold fast in a disaster. Augusta Precious Metals offers free shipping, zero management fees, and Augusta pays all upfront costs. Getting started is absolutely free, so call today, 855-222-5857. Rated A-plus with the Better Business Bureau, Augusta Precious Metals enjoys a 98% 5-star customer satisfaction rating with TrustLink.org. Trust Augusta. Call toll-free, 855-222-5857 now for your free guide to Augusta Gold IRAs. Call 855-222-5857. That's 855-222-5857.
This is an alert. If your business or church is building this year, you're about to pay more than you should. This could mean thousands of dollars more for your office, retail space, church, or warehouse. A General Steel building can save you as much as half the cost and time of similar conventional construction. And we're offering rebates of up to $20,000 to help you build today. Call General Steel for free information that could save you thousands. Call 866-91-STEEL.
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 We use mobile devices right against our bodies every day, but growing scientific evidence has emerged showing serious health risks associated with exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The solution is Defender Shield, the most effective mobile radiation shielding ever developed. Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation from cell phones, tablets, and laptops, and starts at just $64.99. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. For 10% off, use promo code GCN. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in mobile radiation shielding.
Will the government protect your family from Iran and North Korea's newest weapon, EMP? We buy guns to protect ourselves, home, health, and car insurance for accidents. Maybe you also have food storage. But how would you keep your refrigerator running in a long-term EMP blackout? Using tested military designs, the Solark EMP-hardened solar generator protects and powers your critical appliances for years without burying items underground or wrapping them in aluminum foil. Unlike other preps, Solark is used every day to help offset your electric bill automatically. Visit PortableSolarLLC.com to learn how easily expandable the system is. Solark is the most affordable and powerful solution on the market. The whole system even fits in the back of a pickup or SUV and can install in less than an hour. See for yourself why Solark beats other off-grid systems at PortableSolarLLC.com. Don't wait for the government. Go to PortableSolarLLC.com to learn why Solark is energy insurance for your family.
Dr. Dolly Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DOLLY, 1-877-DOCDALI. Big thanks to Genesis Communications Network for making the show happen. Big thanks to Tom, who is working the dials. And a big thanks to you all for tuning in. We really do appreciate it. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Dr. Dahlia and on Facebook, The Dr. Dahlia Show. All right, so we definitely have some news. Let's first talk about Across the Pond Hospitals, and then we'll talk about our own hospitals. In England, the National Health Service chiefs warn, or National Health System chiefs warn, that hospitals in England are on the brink of collapse. And this is something that we have been predicting for a long time. So the body that represents hospitals across England has issued a startling warning that the NHS is close to breaking point because of its escalating cash crisis. According to The Guardian, they say years of underfunding have left the service facing such impossible demands that without urgent extra investment in November's autumn statement, it will have to cut staff, bring in charges, or introduce draconian rationing of treatment. they say all options that will provoke public disquiet. Okay, which is basically a nice English term saying people are going to go ape poop. Okay, see, in America we were like ape poop. In England they call it public disquiet. These options will provoke public disquiet. Yet in America it's like, boy, people are going to go ape crazy. In an unprecedented bleak assessment of the NHS's own health, they said NHS providers, which speaks for hospital trust chairs and chief executives, tells ministers that widespread breaches of performance targets, chronic understaffing, and huge overspends by hospitals means that it's heading back to the visible decline that it had experienced back in the 1990s. They say, taken together, this means that the NHS is increasingly failing to do the job it wants to do, and the public needs to do it, though no fault of its own. So, I guess the influential Commons Health Select Committee decides whether to launch a special inquiry into the state of the NHS in England, and this has been dominated by the Brexit debate, and the state of the NHS is now emerging as a key domestic challenge facing the new government. So, what does that mean for us? Okay, well, remember, they have been operating under a very socialized system. And there have been strikes by quote-unquote junior doctors. We're not allowed to call them baby doctors. Little baby doctors, you know, because they're really not baby doctors. Baby doctors are more like the students. The junior doctors are the ones who have graduated, but they're kind of like teenagers, you know, where the residents. Okay, so they do a lot of eye-rolling. Apparently, some of the residents and some of these, junior doctors who are not fully licensed and can practice on their own have been striking, you know, for working long hours, working weekends, etc. And, you know, it's kind of interesting because nowadays doctors work technically are required to work less than we were when we were in training. But ironically, we're still working harder than we ever have. So, you know, when I was in training, there was none of this, okay, well, we cut call off after 24 hours or you don't work longer than a 12-hour shift. You were working back-to-back 36-hour shifts, and you were lucky if you got home after 36 hours with those shifts. You didn't sleep. You fell asleep on the ride home, which is why I'm glad they changed it. You know, and then, you know, you'd have to see X number of patients. You had to work weekends. So when I opened up my practice, I knew I would be all the time on call. I would be all the time available on the weekends. I didn't come home till 10 o'clock every night. I was at the office before daylight. And it was just something that I knew was going to happen until finally I'm like, you know what, I'm going to put family first. This is getting ridiculous. And then here we were 15, 16 years later where, you know, I still found myself working so hard and still working long hours that, you know, some adjustments have started to be made where, okay, well, you know, doctors will only work X amount of hours. What we'll do is we'll split call. If these doctors are going to work on the weekend, then they get to have off during the week. And I think that's important to save the sanity and to help prevent burnout. The problem is you don't have enough people still wanting that type of schedule. All right, nobody is paying these doctors enough to work those kinds of schedules. And then on top of that, I'm not sure how the liability works in England, but in America, you know, you have to, you know, take care of somebody in the middle of the night over the phone, and you're like, you know, you really need to be evaluated. I don't think I want to call in a medication. I think you need to go to the hospital. And then that person complains and give you a bad review, and then you could be losing your job. Or you think somebody, you know, really needs a scan. You're worried that they have, you know, some pathology going on, and the scan isn't warranted or isn't approved by the insurance. So, you know, we've been watching the NHS and looking at how things are, you know, have been unfolding in England. And one of the last news reports that came out was they were going to stop, they were going to limit who went to the hospital. They were going to only allow kids and emergent conditions in the A&E or on the weekend services. So let's say you're having a chronic cough. Like, look at Hillary Clinton. Okay, so she has a little coughing fit. You would think, well, these coughing fits, maybe they don't have to go to the hospital. And all of a sudden, she's passing out. All right, you know, maybe it was pneumonia, maybe it was a cardiac arrhythmia, but sometimes you have absolutely no idea what's wrong with you. So if you have no idea what's wrong with you, how do you know if you're having an issue or not? And I can't tell you how many people thought they were going, they had something benign, and then all of a sudden, they drop dead in their house. And I'm not saying this to scare you, but these are things we need to be wary of, because as people are encouraging us to follow a system similar to Europe or similar to England, if here they're telling us England is about to, crumble, I don't know if that's the medical model I want to follow. Now, let's look at what's happening, though, here in the United States. In this report, they're saying hospitals are jacking up the costs strategically, according to this study. They say here, researchers at Johns Hopkins University in Baltimore found that many hospitals charge more than 20 times the cost of some services, particularly for certain services like CAT scans and anesthesiology. The researchers said that the pattern of charging suggests that hospitals strategically look for surreptitious ways to boost revenue. Oh, that's a big word, surreptitious. That's a four-syllable word. Hospitals apparently mark up higher in the departments with more complex services because it is more difficult for patients, they say, to compare prices in these departments. According to Jay Bai, who led the study and is an assistant professor at the Johns Hopkins Carey Business School, in a statement, they said other high-tech services and with exorbitant markups include the MRI, electrocardiology, which, you know, tests the heart's electrical patterns, electroencephalography, tests of the brain's impulse patterns, the EEGs, the services that had fees that were more in line with their actual cost to hospitals, including old school physical therapy and nursing. So they say the markups occurred in all types of hospitals, private, non-profit, yet hospitals with the highest markups on average tended to be for-profit hospitals with stronger power within their markets because of either their system affiliations or their dominance of regional markets. In other words, the hospitals that can mark up the prices do. So, they say for a CAT scan, they say a hospital whose cost for a CAT scan may run $100 may actually charge a patient $2,800 for a CAT scan. They say the markups affect the uninsured and the out-of-network patients, auto insurers, and casualty and workers' compensation insurers. The high charges have led to personal bankruptcy, avoidance of needed medical services, and much higher insurance premiums. This is a mess. Our system is an absolute mess. Okay? But we need to look at why these markups are happening. I'm not defending any of these hospitals. Okay? But what this article is not talking about is when a hospital does not get paid over and over and over again, because patients come in and not pay, or the insurance company finds a reason to not pay the claim, or the insurance underpays, these hospitals are forced to overcharge. And, you know, we've talked about this. You know, when I first set up my practice, I did not know what to charge patients. So what I did is I followed the medical school. And I was like, look, I don't know what prices to set. None of us do. So a bunch of us found out what the medical school charged, because the medical school would see underserved. All right. So what I did is I took that amount, and then I took the average of what was around us, and then I went a little bit down because I knew starting out I wanted to attract patients. So I figured I would charge just a little bit less. Okay. Many places were charging about $150, so I charged $100. All right, for a new office visit. Now, insurance would end up paying us $20 or $30. Okay, now you start hiring staff, and you start paying your malpractice, and you start paying, you know, and then you start to figure out, well, this $30 isn't going to cut it. Okay, the patient has a $2 copay, because back then, I believe Aetna, one of the Aetna insurances, it was like a $2 copay. So I'm like, $2, and with the $30, if I'm making $30 to a patient, this isn't going to work. Oh, my gosh. And then, luckily, an insurance company would look at that $100 I was charging and go, you know what, we're going to pay you $55, because we're going to pay you 55 cents on the dollar. And or you would have a cash patient. And that, and we're going to talk about this more after the break, that offset the lack of money you were getting from, you know, the other insurances that were underpaying. So don't go away, because we need to figure out how to fix this. 1-877-DOC-DALLY, and I want to hear from you. 1-877-362-3254.
Fully cooked, ready to eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready to eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and served. Life-saving, ready to eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
So you've got to take a state construction license exam or certification. Can't decide on what books or what chapters to study? Discover right now how you can eliminate unnecessary books and wasted study time. At contractorexam.com, our study materials zero in on state-required test topics in an effective, multiple-choice format. So whether you're a plumber, electrician, general contractor, or other construction-related trade, contractorexam.com will help get you prepared. Visit us at www.contractorexam.com today. Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FIVESTARSOAP.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
Think you're fat? You might just be bloated. Find out by calling now for a free trial of Nubiotics, the new breakthrough that flattens bloated bellies fast. For a free trial, call 1-800-990-1243. Strict limit of one per household.
I used to be plagued by pot belly and constant bloating. After taking Nubiotics, my belly flattened and continues to get flatter. My sense of bloating and discomfort is gone.
If you've got a big belly, you might not be fat. You might just be bloated. Nubiotics is scientifically formulated with natural ingredients to flatten bloated bellies fast by cleansing pounds of rotting food and toxic sludge from your body. It even combats periodic heartburn and acid reflux. If your belly flattening results are too dramatic, simply reduce use to every other day. Think you might be bloated? See how much flatter Nubiotics makes your belly. But hurry, call now for details while we're still giving it away for free. 1-800-990-1243. That's 1-800-990-1243. 1-800-990-1243.
Is negative content or comments on the web affecting your personal or professional reputation? Unfavorable comments, embarrassing pictures, videos, legal documents, and negative articles can ruin your personal life, your career, or your business. It happens a lot, and it's just not fair. But what can you do? ReputationDefender.com can help protect your good name. Get a free consultation now. Call 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Call right now for a free expert reputation analysis. It's easy to squash the unfair attacks with our patented system, and the analysis is absolutely free. Make the best things about you jump out in searches. Protect your personal and professional reputation, your business, and your income. Get your free reputation analysis from ReputationDefender.com right now. Call 800-831-0771. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com today.
All right, guys, we are back on the Dr. Dolly Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DOLLY, 1-877-DOCDALI. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Dr. Dahlia and on Facebook, The Dr. Dahlia Show. Okay, so this study that came out saying hospitals are quote-unquote jacking up the prices. Meanwhile, while we're seeing across the pond in England, their hospitals falling apart and crumbling because they don't have a system that allows them to manipulate the market and be able to collect where they can't collect. And so we have a big problem here on how do you keep a hospital afloat. This is very, very concerning. I mean, I'm in my 40s, okay? I know I look like I'm in my 20s, okay? And I try to lie, and, I'm in my 40s. And so I know exactly where all the hospitals are. I have all the emergency numbers nearby. I have everybody. Maybe that's why I'm on air telling everybody my medical issues so that, you know, if, you know, I roll into your ER, you know exactly that I suffer from hemorrhoids and urinary incontinence and sometimes my breasts don't line up appropriately. Okay, I just want to know that you guys know my norm so that you don't sit here and freak out in case I am, God forbid, unable to tell you what's going on with me. Okay? But I want that hospital to stay afloat, and I want that hospital to be there. Now, I don't know anything about running a hospital. What I do know about is running a medical office. And I am telling you right now, the money does not come into the medical office based on insurance payments alone. If you have a variety, a diversified amount of clients, some paying cash, and you can all offer cash discounts of $50 or $75, but if you have a diversified portfolio of clients, some paying cash, some insured, some with government insurance, some with private insurance, some workers' comp, some personal injury, you could make it work. You're not going to make it work beautifully. You're not going to be sitting there playing golf all the time. It's not in a family practice or primary care or urgent care. So, that being said, you're hearing the study looking at, okay, well, for a CAT scan or for an EEG or for some cardiac tests, they were marketing up because those were easier to mark up. If a hospital is taking a loss on primary care, and they're taking a loss from that. And I can't tell you how many people didn't have insurance and they just didn't pay the hospital bill. They just don't pay the hospital bill. So if these hospitals, and I'm not talking about this, I'm not bringing light to this because I want you to feel sorry for the hospital, but you need to understand the economics of what's going on. So if you have a hospital that keeps taking it over and over and over again as they're dealing with primary care, that all of a sudden they could actually get some reimbursement. That CAT scan, that MRI, those EEGs, those interventional procedures are offsetting the losses that they take. Most ERs lose money. That's just a fact. So how do you keep those ERs staying afloat? You know, there was a hospital that built urgent cares back in the early turn of the century. And they built those urgent cares because their hospital was going under. And those urgent cares luckily helped bring in other income. And many private doctors were upset that those urgent cares were around because it competed with private, it competed with private practice. However, I kept thinking to myself, how does this hospital stay afloat? Because I'm sending all my uninsured patients to that hospital. If these hospitals can't rely on government funds on a regular basis, they have to close down. Now, some of you will say, oh, Dr. Dahlia, you're being overly dramatic. You know, these hospitals, they're fine. They're just being, you know, greedy. You know, they'll always take us. Even, you know, they've been taking us for years. Well, not exactly. What did we hear was going on in L.A. where the paramedics would call a certain hospital and they would ask what the insurance is? Paramedics would say, well, it's a Medicare or it's an uninsured. And the hospital would say, sorry, we're full. Okay, that's been happening, where hospitals are saying no and deflecting transport coming to their ER. A hospital has to stay afloat. You know, I mean, when I talk to medical students about, you know, keeping the practice open, I'm like, look, I know you guys aren't in it for the money. You're in it to help people. But if you don't think about the finances, you are not going to have a location, any real estate, an office to do your good work in. And if you want to be able to have a practice where you give care, you need to learn about the billing. You know, I remember when we were in school, I didn't give a damn about insurance billing. I was barely trying to remember all the different diseases and treatments and the new medications, and Viagra was coming out. So, boy, I was trying to figure out what the hell was going on with that, because people have been dying, you know, if they were taking it with nitrates. So I'm trying to figure all this out, and one of our attendings is trying to teach us how to bill insurance. I'm like, I don't give a damn about billing insurance. I don't want to know about that. You know, look, I just want to get out and start treating people. You can't do that. You can't do that if you don't have a place with a roof over your head and if you don't have staff. Okay, you need nurses. Who's paying the nurses? Who's paying the salaries of the nurses? You know, some hospitals will say, look, you know, we have no more beds. And patients would complain, what are you talking about? I accidentally got off on the wrong floor, and I saw lights out and all these empty beds. What are they talking about? They don't have any more beds. If you don't have the money for the staff, you can't have patients in a bed with no nurse. There's certain guidelines how many patients each nurse could take care of. So if there's not enough money to hire your staff, then you're going to have empty beds there. So it's a big concern. So in this particular study that they're talking about, it's based on 2013 Medicare and other data from nearly 2,500 U.S. hospitals. The researchers compared a hospital's overall charge-to-cost ratio, which is the ratio of what the hospital charged compared to the hospital's actual medical expense. The charge is recorded on a document called a charge master, which is an exhaustive list of the prices for all hospital procedures and supplies. In 2013, the average hospital with more than 50 beds had an overall charge-to-cost ratio of 4.32. That is, the hospital charged $4.32 for every $1 of its own costs. They said, however, at most hospitals that they examined, the researchers found that the charge-to-cost ratio was far higher in departments that were technologically advanced. The highest was in the CT department with an average ratio of 28.5. Okay, so that's obviously a lot of money. Now, are some of these hospitals bringing in plenty of money and they're overcharging according to this study? Yes. But what I am not hearing is, okay, they're talking about the cost, the charge-to-cost ratio, what something costs. What they're not talking about is all the times they are using the things that cost the money and not getting reimbursed for. Now, not all hospitals are going under. Some hospitals are doing very, very well. And some hospitals have extra money to expand, and they have extra money to repaint, and they have extra money to recarpet, and they have extra money to hire more staff. So, you know, what I strongly suggest is, you know, to one, if you are, because now what do you do, okay, as a client? What should you do? Well, first and foremost, you want to make sure you're not overpaying for something. If you are about to get, let's say, a C-section, and your C-section is going to cost $2,000 less at another hospital, and your doctor and staff, and you like the staff at that hospital, then go to the one where it's going to cost you $2,000 less. I hate the idea of spending more than you have to, and it would be really, really nice to see a hospital charge the same. But if you have a hospital such that they have a high amount of people that come to them that don't pay, they are going to have to make it up on the back end. And they're not going to just make it up barely. They're going to try to make it up so they have a cushion. They have to expect, like, look at what happened with the Orlando shooting victims. God bless that hospital, but they did not send bills out. They charged insurance, which is understandable, but they are not sending bills out to any of those unfortunate victims. So really, really cool. But they had to have a little bit of money, a little bit of cushion in order to do that. 1-877-DOC-DOLLY. Don't go away.
My computer is so slow, it's making me crazy.
I used to have that problem.
Did you quit using a computer, or did you buy a new one?
No, I called Geeks On Site. They made an appointment to visit my home and showed up the same day.
You mean they didn't ask you to bring your computer to a shop? That's what happened when I called a support company.
Geeks On Site can go to your home, or business, or even repair your computer online. They have 24/7 emergency service.
If you're having problems with your PC or Mac, call Geeks On Site. 1-800-591-1682. Our friendly certified computer repair
repair experts are available 24/7. Call now for a free diagnosis. 1-800-591-1682. Data recovery, virus removal, and maintenance for all laptops, desktops, printers, and networks. That's Geeks on Site for friendly, certified computer repair experts available 24/7 over the phone or in your home or business. Just call 1-800-591-1682. That's 1-800-591-1682. 1-800-591-1682.
What are you listening to? Have you tried the Dr. Dahlia 24-7 listen line? It's easy. Just punch in 605-477-3713. No apps, no data, no internet needed. And no extra cost if you have unlimited minutes. Call now. 605-477-3713. Now you can listen to Dr. Dahlia when you want. Bookmark the Dr. Dahlia 24-7 listen line number today. 605-477-3713. Got it? Call 605-477-3713.
Hi guys, Dr. Dahlia here. You've been hearing a lot about MyPillow, and I'm here to tell you, wow, it works. With MyPillow, I'm able to fall asleep faster and stay asleep, and I don't wake up with neck pain like I do with some of my other store-bought pillows. MyPillow is my go-to pillow every night. So get your MyPillow at MyPillow.com and use promotional code DDW. Or you can call 1-800-419-1379. It'll be the best night of sleep ever.
Think about this. Your community's aging water infrastructure systems are very likely to be contaminated with heavy metals like lead, disinfection chemicals like ammonia, chlorine and chloramines, and pharmaceuticals like statins, pain meds, and antidepressants.
And no, water treatment plants are not equipped to filter these pharmaceutical toxins out.
Protect your family's water supply with the trusted Big Berkey water filter. New NSF EPA certified lab tests show Big Berkey water filters remove chloramines, pharmaceuticals, BPA, pesticides, bacteria, and viruses, all forms of fluoride, and much more. Big Berkey water filters are the original and most trusted on the market, the gold standard in water purification. And our filters last for years at less than 2 cents per gallon. Big Berkey, the one powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get your Big Berkey today. Call 1-877-99-BERKEY or click BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey water filters for the love of clean water.
Will the government protect your family from Iran and North Korea's newest weapon, EMP? We buy guns to protect ourselves, home, health, and car insurance for accidents. Maybe you also have food storage. But how would you keep your refrigerator running in a long-term EMP blackout? Using tested military designs, the Solark EMP-hardened solar generator protects and powers your critical appliances for years without burying items underground or wrapping them in aluminum foil. Unlike other preps, Solark is used every day to help offset your electric bill automatically. Visit PortableSolarLLC.com to learn how easily expandable the system is. Solark is the most affordable and powerful solution on the market. The whole system even fits in the back of a pickup or SUV and can install in less than an hour. See for yourself why Solark beats other off-grid systems at PortableSolarLLC.com. Don't wait for the government. Go to PortableSolarLLC.com to learn why Solark is energy insurance for your family.
Dr. Otto Warburg won the Nobel Prize for discovering how cells breathe. He also discovered how normal cells turn into tumor cells. He discovered the one prime cause of cancer was cellular oxygen deficiency. Dr. Joanna Budwig built upon the work of Dr. Warburg and discovered how to feed the cells to overcome this oxygen deficiency. She found that it was the sulfur in the cottage cheese that when mixed with fresh pressed flax oil, that the flax oil would become emulsified and more readily absorbed. Flax oil delivered in this manner was able to restore oxygen transfer to all cells of the body. Now there's a new method of pressing seed oils that produces the highest quality, zero oxidation, undamaged seed oils. The results on these seed oils alone are amazing. Now add our Life Force Enhanced One World Whey Protein Powder that is much higher in the sulfur amino acids than cottage cheese is, and you have a winning combination to confer health and energy like never before. Call 888-988-3325 or visit sacredseedoils.com. That's sacredseedoils.com.
We are
are back on the Dr. Dolly Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DOLLY, 1-877-DOCDALI. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Dr. Dahlia and on Facebook, The Dr. Dahlia Show. I've been really, really behind on my blog. I think it's because I spent so much time talking and I spent so much time writing articles for everybody else that I have started a blog. So visit my website and I will hopefully have some very, very interesting facts and interesting information for you guys that you could learn. It's because some of you guys don't listen to my show, and you really should. So if you listen to my show, I wouldn't have to do all the extra work like I have a blog. I don't even like the word blog. It sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? I have a blog. It kind of sounds like you got like a medical issue. You know, I have a blog, so I have to change my underwear all the time. You know, that kind of thing. Okay, but yes, I am. There is a Dr. Dahlia blog. It's basically called Dr. Dahlia, I guess. I don't know you had to really have a name for it. So please visit my blog. All right, so junk food damages the blood cells. Actually damages your blood cells. And this is according to scientists at Swansea University. If you don't eat enough antioxidants, which are found in fresh foods, then our red blood cells get damaged from the crappy food that we're eating. And red blood cells need to carry oxygen from the lungs to the body tissues. It's supposed to remove waste, carbon dioxide, and obviously red blood cells are very, very vital. So according to Dr. Hassan Haboubi, a gastroenterologist and cancer researcher, said, we have found that lifestyle, and especially diet, is intimately linked to the health of our tiniest cells. These are tiny little baby cells. If we have a bad diet, it is rapidly reflected in the state of those cells. See, if my name was Dr. Hassan Haboubi, I would probably be talking about baby cells. I would really concentrate on the B. Dr. Haboubi studied red blood cells. Sorry, that's how you pronounce it. Studied red blood cells, which are created by stem cells in the bone marrow. As stem cells move all around the body, they are affected by a lot of lifestyle factors, including diet, exercise, and exposure to radiation. If these are mutated, then faulty blood cells are created. A healthy person should have no more than 3 to 5 cells that have mutated per million. People who eat low levels of fruit and vegetables had more than double the mutation rate. The findings were revealed when Dr. Haboubi was trying to develop a blood test for cancer. So, scary, scary stuff. We think, look, okay, there's a piece of lettuce on there. There's a piece of tomato. You got the ground beef. You got the cheese. So overall, you're getting your food groups. But you don't understand, there's a lot of preservatives, there's a lot of crap. And unfortunately, that could be what's irritating the blood cells. And, you know, you want to give your body the best that you can. Unfortunately, this did not go well. We have a 19-year-old girl who died from a brain-eating amoeba after swimming in a Maryland creek while on summer vacation. Carrie Stoutenberg, 19 years old, has died from a rare brain parasite. She's from New York, and she was on holiday on vacation with her parents, sister, and boyfriend. She was swimming in Octoraro Creek and Northeast Creek in Maryland during her summer break. Dr. Carol Smith said the State Department of Health's Wadsworth Center confirmed that the amoeba was present in her system. What a shame. You see her. She's a beautiful, lovely girl. The amoeba could be contracted, obviously, through the nose when swimming in freshwater lakes or rivers. Interesting how as far north as Maryland this happened. Usually we see these amoeba infections more in the south, like Georgia, Florida, South Carolina, and the more warm waters. So basically it goes up the nose, travels to the brain, and the infection is usually fatal. Usually the victim dies within 5 days after symptoms first appear. Her father, Donald, said the amoeba probably entered her system on August 20th when she jumped off a bridge into a warm body of water in Cecil County, Maryland. The 19-year-old was on vacation. She was hospitalized a week later with symptoms, including vomiting and persistent headaches. She was treated and sent home, but then the condition deteriorated and she returned back to the hospital. Doctors initially thought she had meningitis, but further tests proved to be incorrect. Again, when you're up in Maryland, you're not thinking about, you know, amoeba. And the organism called a primary amoebic, or the organism caused the disease, primary amoebic meningoencephalitis. We believe it was Neisseria fowleri. Naegleria fowleri, which was the brain-eating amoeba. It's a single-celled living organism, and it could cause the primary amoebic meningoencephalitis, commonly found in freshwater lakes, rivers, hot springs, and it usually infects you if contaminated water enters the nose. She died on August 31st, and is thought to be the first person in New York or Maryland to die from this extremely rare parasite. So, the agency says only 3 out of 138 known infected individuals from the U.S. from 1962 to 2015 have survived. There's a 97% mortality rate with this. There is a GoFundMe page, paying tribute to Carrie. You know, what concerns me is where we worry about these viruses and where we worry about, the exposure is if you mess with the silt that's on the ground. We tell you don't brush things up because the amoeba will be down there. But it looks like she jumped into the lake. So she wasn't messing around and playing with the lake originally, unless there was somebody else next to her that she jumped towards. So she jumped into the lake, and that was just enough for her to get this. And again, this is so rare, but it's so deadly that you don't want anybody to get this. 1-877-DOC-DALI, 1-877-DOC-DALI. There's been a surge in ER visits for injuries and concussions from soccer. You know, we were watching football yesterday, and boy, those injuries look, you know, it was crazy. It was, people, all the time, it looked like the game had to be stopped because somebody was getting hurt. And we completely forget that soccer is really on the rise. The findings, based on 25 years of data, partly reflect soccer's growing popularity, and researchers and sports medicine experts believe the trend also is a result of greater awareness about concussions and their potential risks. Coaches and parents are likely seeking emergency treatment for symptoms that in previous years might have been downplayed or overlooked. They say nearly 3 million players aged 7 to 17 received ER treatment for soccer-related injuries in the 2000 to 2014 study. They say the overall rate of injuries takes into account, obviously, soccer's rising popularity, so you're going to see more. And I guess it more than doubled to 220 per 10,000 players in 2013 from 106 per 10,000 players in 1990. Researchers did not have enough data to calculate 2014 rates. More than 200,000 concussions or head injuries were treated in emergency rooms, or 7% of injuries. So what's happening? Well, concussions, you know, they're not wearing helmets. And when you head the ball, that's enough to cause, you know, especially with that kind of force, especially with downward gravity, and a soccer ball is not a very light, soft ball. How many of you have ever gotten hit by a racquetball? That can knock you out. In fact, they, in movies, they seem to kind of make fun of people get hit with a racquetball, then they just pass out. I think in Splash that happened with Tom Hanks. Not funny at all. So now you're looking at a bigger ball with more surface area that's more firm, plus it's coming at you in a different speed with gravity. Scary stuff. According to U.S. Youth Soccer, there were more than 3 million registered soccer players younger than 19 in 2014. So more people are registering, and the rates of injuries obviously have gone up. They say for boys, football-related concussions result in more ER visits than other sports. For girls, it's soccer. Oh, yeah, don't underestimate girls and when they play soccer. I mean, it gets rough. The current study lacks information on gender-specific soccer injury rates. But the top 10 concussion-causing sports for 6 to 12-year-olds include football, basketball, soccer, baseball, horseback riding, snowboarding, hockey, ice skating, skating, and then gymnastics, dance, and cheer. Wasn't there also a study looking at the synchronized swimmers and how synchronized swimmers had higher levels of concussions and brain injury? So just don't underestimate, you know, that. And if your kid plays sports, watch him. Keep an eye on him. 1-877-DOC-DALI. Don't go away.
Rebel. dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Do you ever feel like you're being watched? Like someone or some company is tracking your every move online? I know I do. That's why I trust Private Internet Access VPN to keep me safe when I'm online. I use it to encrypt my traffic and use an anonymous IP address. Private Internet Access keeps your internet traffic safe from unwanted eyes so you can finally feel safe. $40 a year for peace of mind is a no-brainer. Sign up today at PrivateInternetAccess.com. Once again, that's PrivateInternetAccess.com.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with Principal Office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24-7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.